Hi, this is Jennifer Kelly, whole child, whole parent consultant and provider of education services. I'm here to talk to you today about PMAD, PMAD, or perinatal mood and anxiety disorder, or commonly thought of as postpartum depression. Today, we're going to be focusing on steps to wellness with postpartum depression. Now, let's think and relax our minds. What comes to your mind when you think of postpartum depression? A lot of people experience postpartum depression. You may know of somebody who went through difficulties after their pregnancy. It could be a mother, or it could be the partner, or it could be both. You might have seen difficult situations, difficult feelings to manage, something that touched you personally. Well, let's talk more about what postpartum depression is defined as. It is defined as a social, physiological, psychological, and a behavioral health condition. PMAD stands for perinatal mood and anxiety disorder. 1 in 7 women will develop a PMAD. A PMAD is not the baby blues. With the baby blues, you are mostly happy. The baby blues may last days and no more than 2 weeks. A PMAD can last up to a year, and with it, you cannot function normally. PMAD is a more serious condition than the baby blues. PMAD is a serious mental health condition that makes it difficult for you to function and difficult for you to take care of yourself and your baby. It is important to plan during and after pregnancy for a mother's and or partner's postpartum care and potential needs during pregnancy and thereafter. This preventative measure will help the mother and partner reduce their risk of getting a PMAD or reduce the severity of a PMAD if the mother and or partner does develop one. In comparison to the U.S., a lot more emphasis on nurturing support, natural health and wellness, and extended holistic care goes into afterbirth and PMAD care in the non-Western world outside the U.S. You can read more about the comparison between Western and non-Western world PMAD care in a book called The Mommy Plan by Valerie Lynn. But for now, our exclusive focus is on PMAD care in the U.S. and being mindful and positive about taking better preventative steps to overall wellness of mother, baby, and partner. Here are some pictures of women and men experiencing PMAD. With a PMAD, the mother and partner will feel things are just not right and everything is going wrong. You may feel anxious, constantly stressed, insecure, in a daze, be depressed, have mood swings, feel sad, lonely, fatigued, worthless, have brain fog, be irritable, lose your appetite, have trouble sleeping, cry, lose pleasure in things that normally the mother and partner enjoyed, be angry, not able to bond with the baby, have thoughts of hurting someone, be restless, suicidal, hopeless, lack feelings and attachment towards the baby, be confused, have poor focus, be worried all the time, have physical symptoms, obsessiveness, repetitive behaviors, relationship problems, employment problems, and so on and so forth. Everyone experiences PMAD symptoms differently. Some people may experience multiple symptoms, and some people may experience only some or one symptom. It's different with every person. Common postpartum expectations. The postpartum period is often called the fourth trimester because you will likely still be attached to your baby. Here are some things to expect. The mother's body has been through a lot during labor and delivery, and she will need time to rest and recover. The mother may have sweats from all the extra fluid she carried around during pregnancy. This will shed in the first few nights after pregnancy. She will need to remain hydrated and drink lots of fluids. The mother will experience lochia. This is when her blood volume increases during pregnancy by 60% and her tissue will shed in the next several weeks after birth. The mother will likely have period-like bleeding for 3 to 7 days and it may continue for 6 weeks. She will experience afterbirth contractions. With this, the goal is to continue to contract after birth to expel the placenta, and this can reduce bleeding. The mother should take a moment to breathe through contractions. A nice smoothie with a piece of placenta or taking placenta capsules can reduce her afterbirth pain and help the uterus return to a pear shape within 6 weeks. The mother should ask her doctor before resuming regular exercise or sexual intercourse. If she is breastfeeding, she needs to remember that she is still eating for two. Either way, she should make sure to eat a lot of natural, well-balanced, and warm foods. Also, the mother should remember to keep taking her prenatal vitamins. We mention these type of factors that go on during pregnancy because they affect how the woman feels and functions physically and emotionally during and after the birth during the typical postpartum period. Moreover, PMAD is related to a variety of mental health conditions as follows: depression, anxiety, panic disorder, adjustment disorder, obsessive compulsive disorder, PTSD, bipolar disorder, and possibly even psychosis. Who is at risk for PMAD? Anyone can get a PMAD, but some factors can raise the risk of PMAD as follows: a history of depression or other mental health disorders, such as a mood disorder or physical health condition prior to or during being pregnant, being a young mother, having ambivalence about pregnancy, having more children will make the mother more likely to develop a PMAD, the mother and or partner. Going through extremely stressful events can also be an extreme pressuring factor that could lead to PMAD. Other factors include having a child with special needs or health problems, having twins or triplets, past or current menstrual problems, limited social support, living alone, being a past victim or current victim of any kind of abuse such as emotional, sexual, financial, or marital conflict. Keep in mind, there is a question as to whether a PMAD disorder can be inherited or just start to develop during pregnancy and manifest itself after pregnancy. Whether it is genetically inherited or not, and if it can be solely due or in part to environmental factors. PMAD can affect people in different ways. A lot of people believe the theory that PMAD develops mainly because of hormonal and physiological changes the mother goes through during and after pregnancy. Someone skilled in dealing with PMAD can best be skilled in understanding the unique individual dynamics of how PMAD affects mothers and partners differently, how to develop strategic whole person supports, and create and design a unique personal plan and supportive team that will work towards steps to wellness. Consequences. There is help for postpartum depression. It is important that the mother and partner seek help early on. Postpartum depression is a very treatable condition, especially if it's caught early on. At its worst, if postpartum is left untreated, it can lead to difficulty with self and baby care, avoidance of certain activities, inability and lack of logical focus to attend to the baby's emotional, cognitive development, communication, activities and interactions that properly and consistently engage the baby. It can lead to disconnection from social supports and health care. The mother and partner will in turn often neglect their self-care and inconsistent routines, general detachment, be unable to plan for or provide for the baby's needs, possibly have unusual thoughts and changes in beliefs and interests, etc. A lot of people are ashamed and feel alone and uncomfortable getting screened and talking about symptoms that may be related to them having postpartum depression. However, there are a lot of non-judgmental places and spaces you can turn for non-judgmental respect, understanding, emotional support, educational information, resources, and referrals. The mother should first seek advice through her healthcare provider and develop a support team. With help, the mother and partner should create a checklist of different duties delegated to different people to attend to anticipated and unanticipated postpartum needs. After pregnancy, if the mother feels like she is experiencing postpartum symptoms, she should get help from a partner, have her doctor screen her for PMAD, and go on a local state and or your country postpartum website to find a list of cognitive behavioral therapy supports, crisis lines, mental health referral places, and local educational and other type of support groups in your area. The mother and partner may also want advice from a nutritionist. Every day, the mother should be helped to strive towards keeping a positive mindset and taking steps to wellness. It is helpful to keep a list or journal of daily goals. It is important for the mother and partner to get educated about PMED and read up on books and online. The mother and partner should get some affirmations from their PMED support team. The affirmations should relate to steps to wellness during PMED and whatever general and self-help goals the mother and partner want to work on. The mother and partner should get enough sleep and get rest, not skip meals, and get proper nutrients each day. Take time for self-care, get emotional support, practical support, and create a postpartum plan and budget and barter system for at least 3 to 7 days. PMAD or more, if needed, with a support team that ideally should be there before, during, and after her birth to help her and encourage her, and so forth. Every day, the mother should focus on steps to wellness and small goals that relate to regaining her strength and energy after pregnancy, focusing on positive things that make her feel better, and working on small activity, routine, and life goals. This can be part of the mother's and partner's postpartum action plan that includes having some physical activity each day, a fun activity each day, spending time with people who are supportive, spending time relaxing each day, and setting steps, 2 steps each day to reach personal goals that make the mother and partner baby feel their best. Overall, when dealing with a mother with PMAD, the specialist and support care team should realize PMAD is a very common mental health condition. It is more frequently mild to moderately mild, but a PMAD support person, PMAD specialist, doctor, or mental health condition specialist should realize the situation can have harmful and damaging effects to the mother and baby's health and her relationships if the situation is not properly supported. A mother partner's PMAD team should understand and communicate that PMAD is very treatable in its early stages and help is readily available to the mother and partner and baby on a path that leads to steps to overall wellness, happiness, and their true potential for optimal life successes. This is Jennifer Kelly. Thank you so much for listening to my presentation, and I hope this will impact you in a way where you can go on and help somebody who may be experiencing postpartum depression symptoms. Best of success. Hi, this is Jennifer Kelly, whole child, whole parent consultant and provider of education services. I'm here to talk to you today about PMAD, P-M-A-D, or perinatal mood and anxiety disorder, or commonly thought of as postpartum depression. Today, we're going to be focusing on steps to wellness with postpartum depression. Now, let's think and relax our minds. What comes to your mind when you think of postpartum depression? A lot of people experience postpartum depression. You may know of somebody who went through difficulties after their pregnancy. It could be a mother, or it could be the partner, or it could be both. You might have seen difficult situations, difficult feelings to manage, something that touched you personally. Well, let's talk more about what postpartum depression is defined as. It is defined as a social, physiological, psychological, and a behavioral health condition. PMAD stands for perinatal mood and anxiety disorder. 1 in 7 women will develop a PMAD. A PMAD is not the baby blues. With the baby blues, you are mostly happy. The baby blues may last days and no more than 2 weeks. A PMAD can last up to a year, and with it, you cannot function normally. PMAD is a more serious condition than the baby blues. PMAD is a serious mental health condition that makes it difficult for you to function and difficult for you to take care of yourself and your baby. It is important to plan during and after pregnancy for a mother's and or partner's postpartum care and potential needs during pregnancy and thereafter. This preventative measure will help the mother and partner reduce their risk of getting a PMAD or reduce the severity of a PMAD if the mother and or partner does develop one. In comparison to the U.S., a lot more emphasis on nurturing support, natural health and wellness, and extended holistic care goes into afterbirth and PMED care in the non-Western world outside the U.S. You can read more about the comparison between Western and non-Western world PMED care in a book called The Mommy Plan by Valerie Lynn. But for now, our exclusive focus is on PMED care in the U.S. and being mindful and positive about taking better preventative steps to overall wellness of mother, baby, and partner. Here are some pictures of women and men experiencing PMED. With a PMED, the mother and partner will feel things are just not right and everything is going wrong. You may feel anxious, constantly stressed, insecure, in a daze, be depressed, have mood swings, feel sad, lonely, fatigued, worthless, have brain fog, be irritable, lose your appetite, have trouble sleeping, cry, lose pleasure in things that normally the mother and partner enjoyed, be angry, not able to bond with the baby, have thoughts of hurting someone, be restless, suicidal, hopeless, lack feelings and attachment towards a baby, be confused, have poor focus, be worried all the time, have physical symptoms, obsessiveness, repetitive behaviors, relationship problems, employment problems, and so on and so forth. Everyone experiences PMED symptoms differently. Some people may experience multiple symptoms, and some people may experience only some or one symptom. It's different with every person. Common postpartum expectations. The postpartum period is often called the fourth trimester because you will likely still be attached to your baby. Here are some things to expect. The mother's body has been through a lot during labor and delivery, and she will need time to rest and recover. The mother may have sweats from all the extra fluid she carried around during pregnancy. This will shed in the first few nights after pregnancy. She will need to remain hydrated and drink lots of fluids. The mother will experience lochia. This is when her blood volume increased during pregnancy by 60% and her tissue will shed in the next several weeks after birth. The mother will likely have period-like bleeding for 3 to 7 days and it may continue for 6 weeks. She will experience afterbirth contractions. With this, the goal is to continue to contract after birth to expel the placenta, and this can reduce bleeding. The mother should take a moment to breathe through contractions. A nice smoothie with a piece of placenta or taking placenta capsules can reduce her afterbirth pain and help the uterus return to a pear shape within 6 weeks. The mother should ask her doctor before resuming regular exercise or sexual intercourse. If she is breastfeeding, she needs to remember that she is still eating for two. Either way, she should make sure to eat a lot of natural, well-balanced, and warm foods. Also, the mother should remember to keep taking her prenatal vitamins. We mention these type of factors that go on during pregnancy because they affect how the woman feels and functions physically and emotionally during and after the birth, during the typical postpartum period. Moreover, PMAD is related to a variety of mental health conditions as follows: depression, anxiety, panic disorder, adjustment disorder, obsessive compulsive disorder, PTSD, bipolar disorder, and possibly even psychosis. Who is at risk for PMAD? Anyone can get a PMAD, but some factors can raise the risk of PMAD as follows: a history of depression or other mental health disorders such as a mood disorder, or physical health condition prior to or during being pregnant, being a young mother, having ambivalence about pregnancy, having more children will make the mother more likely to develop a PMAD, the mother and or partner. Going through extremely stressful events can also be an extreme pressuring factor that could lead to PMAD. Other factors include having a child with special needs or health problems, having twins or triplets, past or current menstrual problems, limited social support, living alone, being a past victim or current victim of any kind of abuse such as emotional, sexual, financial, or marital conflict. Keep in mind, there is a question as to whether a PMAD disorder can be inherited or just start to develop during pregnancy and manifest itself after pregnancy. Whether it is or whether it is genetically inherited or not, and if it can be solely due or in part to environmental factors. PMED can affect people in different ways. A lot of people believe the theory that PMED develops mainly because of hormonal and physiological changes the mother goes through during and after pregnancy. Someone skilled in dealing with PMAD can best be skilled in understanding the unique individual dynamics of how PMAD affects mothers and partners differently, how to develop strategic whole person supports, and create and design a unique personal plan and supportive team that will work towards steps to wellness. Consequences. There is help for postpartum depression. It is important that the mother and partner seek help early on. Postpartum depression is a very treatable condition, especially if it's caught early on. At its worst, if postpartum is left untreated, it can lead to difficulty with self and baby care, avoidance of certain activities, inability and lack of logical focus to attend to the baby's emotional, cognitive development, communication, activities and interactions that properly and consistently engage the baby. It can lead to disconnection from social supports and health care. The mother and partner will in turn often neglect their self-care and inconsistent routines, general detachment, be unable to plan for or provide for the baby's needs, possibly have unusual thoughts and changes in beliefs and interests, etc. A lot of people are ashamed and feel alone and uncomfortable getting screened and talking about symptoms that may really be related to them having postpartum depression. However, there are a lot of non-judgmental places and spaces you can turn for non-judgmental respect, understanding, emotional support, educational information, resources, and referrals. The mother should first seek advice through her healthcare provider and develop a support team. With help, the mother and partner should create a checklist of different duties delegated to different people to attend to anticipated and unanticipated postpartum needs. After pregnancy, if the mother feels like she's experiencing postpartum symptoms, she should get help from a partner, have her doctor screen her for PMED, and go on a local state and or your country postpartum website to find a list of cognitive behavioral therapy supports, crisis lines, mental health referral places, and local educational and other type of support groups in your area. The mother and partner may also want advice from a nutritionist. Every day, the mother should be helped to strive towards keeping a positive mindset and taking steps to wellness. It is helpful to keep a list or journal of daily goals. It is important for the mother and partner to get educated about PMED and read up on books and online. The mother and partner should get some affirmations from their PMED support team. The affirmation should relate to steps to wellness during PMED and whatever general and self-help goals the mother and partner want to work on. The mother and partner should get enough sleep and get rest, not skip meals, and get proper nutrients each day. Take time for self-care, get emotional support, practical support, and create a postpartum plan and budget and barter system for at least 3 to 7 days. PMED or more if needed, with a support team that ideally should be there before, during, and after her birth to help her and encourage her, and so forth. Every day, the mother should focus on steps to wellness and small goals that relate to regaining her strength and energy after pregnancy, focusing on positive things that make her feel better, and working on small activity, routine, and life goals. This can be part of the mother's and partner's postpartum action plan that includes having some physical activity each day, a fun activity each day, spending time with people who are supportive, spending time relaxing each day, and setting steps, 2 steps each day to reach personal goals that make the mother and partner baby feel their best. Overall, when dealing with a mother with PMED, the specialist and support care team should realize PMAD is a very common mental health condition. It is more frequently mild to moderately mild, but a PMAD support person, PMAD specialist, doctor, or mental health condition specialist should realize the situation could have harmful and damaging effects to the mother and baby's health and her relationships if the situation is not properly supported. A mother partner's PMED team should understand and communicate that PMED is very treatable in its early stages and help is readily available to the mother and partner and baby on a path that leads to steps to overall wellness, happiness, and their true potential for optimal life successes. This is Jennifer Kelly. Thank you so much for listening to my presentation, and I hope this will impact you in a way where you can go on and help somebody who may be experiencing postpartum depression symptoms. Best of success. This is Jennifer Kelly, Whole Child Educational Consultant and Provider of Supplementary Education Services. Welcome to my short overview and talk on respect. I will relate this to educational practice, professionalism, creating a class and school culture environment of educational leadership, implementing clear and strict discipline, flexible learning options, mutual respect, and being valued inside and outside the school classroom or in shared learning settings. Before I get into this talk, I want to talk about laying the foundational mindset for respect. It is good practice to cultivate a common good and a common work ethic to work towards and reflect on your intentionality when you are considering respect. I want to focus on laying the foundational mindset for respect. This involves finding ways to find positive points and aspects to emphasize and focus on each day relating to empathy, understanding, and progressing towards individual and common goals. This kind of growth mindset of taking yourself and others in a positive, result-driven outcome direction is what is needed to be a professional educational leader who commands respect in the classroom and in other learning environments. How you conduct yourself influences how others see you and how you represent and react to students. You need to be willing and receptive to take feedback and be ready to form appropriate learning partnerships. Give feedback, credit, and recognition when it is due, and never put anyone down or allow anyone to put you down. Respect should be seen as a given of what is to be expected in the classroom. This coincides with the environmental arrangements and should not be something additional that we might consider. Respect should be a given. The way you maintain and manage a learning environment, the rules, discipline, and the consistent routines you establish, and your influence and ability to keep order inside and outside the classroom also relates to engaging with parents regarding students' needs outside the classroom, family issues, awareness of health status, social issues, social interactions, friendships, learning strengths and weaknesses, and activities of the student. You want to instill in students the importance of having a love of learning, becoming critical thinkers and good communicators who learn to lead well-rounded good lives with proper manners, character, and discipline related to having a positive mindset to work towards excellence. As educators, you should emphasize simple ways to practice mutual teacher-to-student respect and student-to-teacher respect that reinforces that everyone is good at something. There are a diversity of people of all different personalities, learning styles, attitudes, perspectives, and challenges that need to be recognized and appreciated so they can work towards respectful group and individual success. As mentioned, to command respect, we have to be in a positive mindset among collaborative, like-minded people. To give and to get respect genuinely and appropriately, we need to show interest in learning and working on our strengths and weaknesses. In turn, as educator, you need to be able to functionally support whatever needs to be done. As educator, you should take the approach that you need to be consistent socially, professionally, and supportively by like-minded people with long-term consistency. Thereby, as educator, you can be at your best and be highly organized, competent, prioritized, have clear direct communication, and have fitting approaches that seem to flow easily and consistently and impact positive daily actions and daily productive routines. It is important as educator you set the stage for mutual respect by having your own highly structured positive conduct rules and positive values in mind to influence positive leadership and be a role model. It is important that as teacher, educator, you strive to be organized, confident, and knowledgeable, use relevant practices to reinforce process learning, and put skills into practice. It is important that you have a consistent mindset that offers stability and balance in collaboration with others, educators, and teachers, and related educational staff, and students to work towards practical and creative solutions. The teacher should be skilled, the teacher and or educator, should be skilled and trained in student, staff, and parent engagement and encourage a positive growth mindset, encourage perspective taking, and be able to professionally and positively connect with the whole child. If the teacher is on call or acting as a sub, they need to be comfortable and confident and stand their ground, be knowledgeable, informed to fill the shoes of the teacher, and not allow themselves to feel lost or intimidated or act like they can't take charge or are made to feel unsure of by students and that they don't know what to do to set a precedence for giving and getting respect. In other words, students should ideally not feel like they're getting a dumb sub when a teacher is filling in for another teacher or a teacher in training is filling in for a permanent teacher. So, as stated, the students should not feel like the teacher does not have control and doesn't know what she's doing, the teacher that's filling in. Whereby the students would be able to pull strings because the sub teacher is seen as easy to take advantage of, and they will decide whether or not they are going to cooperate in attitude and work habits. The sub teacher should be prepared and willing to fill the duties of the regular teacher. Students need to see the sub as in control and responsible regardless of the class dynamics and class situation. Quite honestly, most people don't like being thought of just and only as a sub on call or per diem substitute who is always going into different situations where they feel like they don't know what to expect and don't feel like they can be confident and able to predict that they will be able to handle the class dynamics, routine, and class situation. Most people who do this type of work are not comfortable just being a sub in ever-changing classroom learning environments with different class conduct, different expectations, different personalities with varying needs and skill levels. Ideally, I have enjoyed being a sub teacher because it is challenging and dynamic. I like supporting whatever needs to be done in the classroom. Subbing ideally keeps me motivated towards my goal of keeping current with different educational learning environments and learning challenges, working with learners of different needs that need different types of learning strategies, approaches, and learning situations and solutions. For the best of educators, working with a variety of students is a chance to develop transferable skills. And this is helpful to the majority of people who want to gain work as regular teachers. For me, some of these skills are transferable to working as a collaborative educational consultant and provider of supplementary education services. For those who are new to the game in education or just filling in as subs, I recommend meeting the teacher you would be filling in for beforehand, if possible, and discussing his or her approaches and expectations for what to do when you're filling in. If this is not possible, it's always good to arrive in the classroom you're covering for early to familiarize yourself with the surrounding staff, classroom, teacher notes, and procedures that were left for you. You should also make sure you are familiar with the classroom technology and know where the phone extension contacts are for any support staff you might need to call. It is mindful, thorough, diligent, and professional for a sub-teacher to leave short professional comments at the end of the day regarding student behaviors that were negative, that needed attending to, along with comments on positive behaviors and actions that needed recognition. Lastly, in your comment note, you should leave a short comment about the class atmosphere, tone during the day, the flow of the overall day, and how the day went in general. Professionalism and professional development should be a habit and regular practice for the teacher educator, whereby his or her competence is not questioned. As teacher educator and someone who has a mindset of gratitude and thankfulness for his or her students and gives encouragement and shows and models positive actions towards students and in working with students, to work towards increased progress and creating an environment of growing student self-esteem, confidence, love of learning, and critical thinking, which should be the norm and expectation. Along with this, there should be a cooperative mindset that we all learn, improve, and better our strengths and weaknesses together and in encouraging each other. As teacher, you should reinforce that no one knows everything and that we improve through learned appropriate study practices, planned and taught reading comprehension skills, encourage perspective taking, reflection, and mindfulness related to solution-based process thinking, finding ways as educator to be a long-term and consistent professional, and have a good reputation for personal and social communication that's effectively supported. In terms of mindset, as a teacher educator, you should instill in students that you expect them to make an effort and to have a mindset to strive towards full focus attention and to try to more fully retain and apply learned information even when some lessons may seem boring or irrelevant. The professional experienced teacher educator knows skillful ways to adapt class instruction, to redirect focus, and make almost anything interesting, even if this seems fleeting or coming and going in many students at times. Striving to be an expert teacher educator enables you to direct your students with confidence, patience, kindness, understanding, and letting them know, as stated before, that it's okay to make mistakes and that we all make mistakes and this is how we learn. As teacher educator, you should let them know it's okay to apologize if you did something wrong or made a mistake. In terms of students, we always need to be reflective and re-examine a student's full efforts, learning approaches, and needs to help them towards the best of their potential. As teachers and educators and related school staff, you should be consistently timely and reliable when responding to other staff, students, and parents, messages, notices, and professional emails. As teachers, educators, and educational staff, you should strive to be very empathetic, understanding, supportive, and encouraging of people's abilities. In conduct, the teacher educator should be interesting and energetic and show the students he or she is always willing to go the extra mile for individual students and groups of students and collaborative staff learning by offering needed or immediate help or supplementary education to help with task completion, and remediation, forms of enrichment, and suggest additional outside tutoring and enrichment activities based on students' needs and interests. As teachers and educators, you need to be known to staff and students as someone who can be counted on to be honest, reliable, committed, and responsible. As teachers and educators, you should always be open to an exchange of positive and constructive feedback, whether it is from an educator-to-educator perspective, student-to-student, student-to-educator, parent-to-educator, or educator-to-parent. It is important to stress the importance of learning to work together for individual and collaborative goals. Ultimately, this is what is needed in any learning environment and in the real world. This is Jennifer Kelly, Whole Child Consultant and provider of supplementary education services, wishing you the best of success and a positive mindset in working towards steps to your truest, highest potential.